God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
So I heard a presenter who was, he liked to read poetry. He liked to recite poetry, and he had everyone participate in the poem. So I would like to do the same. So we're going to say, you're going to point at your chest, say, I thirst. I thirst. You thirst.
You thirst.
We thirst.
We thirst.
So again, I thirst.
I thirst.
You thirst.
You thirst.
We thirst.
We thirst.
For the Lord.
For the Lord.
And the most holy.
And the most holy.
Eucharist.
Eucharist.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
So what I learned at the National Black Catholic Congress, first we have to write down our prophetic call, right? And it talks about how we have to have a vision. And the Eucharist is part of our vision. We as Catholics, it's always what the Lord wrote down for us. Write the vision, a prophetic call to thrive. This writing down the vision is answering the call. So it brings me to this story. There was a kid who was named Keith, and his dad ran out on him. And he lived here in North Philly, and so his mom said he had to be the man of the house. So he prayed with his mom, and he wrote down what he needed. He needed to somehow be able to supply food for his mom. She had a disability, and she was depending on her husband. So he came up with the idea to sell water. He bought all these water bottles and he started selling on the street. He had a little stand and he was making some money to be able to help out his mom. And there was a limousine that was driving by. And in the limousine was a kid that was the same age as Keith. He was born in the same exact date. And he had braided hair, he was the same height. It was so strange, he looked just like Keith. This kid who was in limousine was a prince, and his name was Tatemke. He was an African prince. And the reason why he was in Philadelphia is because his dad was, he had cancer, and he was going to the hospital. So when this African prince saw Keith, they were in awe that they looked just like each other. And he was surprised and really impressed that this kid is out there selling water to make money. So he invited Keith to come into the limousine. And then the prince said to Keith, you know, how about we do something to change both our lives? So the prince wanted to be away from home. He wanted to have a challenge. He wanted to live in America. And his dad would never let him do it. So he said, how about we change clothes and you pretend to be me and I pretend to be you. And so they changed clothes and the prince had to go out there and sell water. He realized how challenging it is to do this. And he learned as he progressed day after day. His mom didn't recognize that it wasn't Keith and people thought it was Keith. And so Keith, when he wore the attire of the prince and he went to Africa, he had to learn the custom and the culture of Africa to being a prince. And he was also kind of feeling his way through and he was struggling, but he was able to manage to live as a prince. He was able to understand the culture. He was able to make judgments as a prince. And the reason I bring up this parable, this story, is that Jesus reveals to us in the first reading King Solomon. Solomon didn't have wisdom, like Keith and the prince, very young. But the Spirit of God enveloped their soul, enveloped his soul to give him wisdom. So them exchanging different roles helped them to experience the wisdom of God and the different roles that they had. The African prince, his role as a prince, and Keith as the son who is surviving to take care of his mom. Both of them had the spirit of wisdom within them. They had a vision of survival, of thriving. But it was God who helped them each to be successful in their different roles. But King Solomon needed the wisdom of God to judge justly. He wanted to judge what is good and what is bad. And the impact that he would have on the people of God, he wouldn't want to have something, a gift that was selfish, that was self-centered. So he wanted the wisdom to be able to put on wisdom, to put on the armor of God, and to have the mind of God. And so we put on Christ. The robe that we put on, the wisdom divine, is our union with Christ. Jesus is divine wisdom incarnate. And so we are switching roles. Jesus is the King of heaven, but he became like us. He took on our humanity. He dressed himself in our humanity, and he allowed us to dress ourselves in his divinity. So we become children of God, daughters and sons of the kingdom. And the kingdom of heaven we receive by receiving Jesus. So we receive the call to judge justly like King Solomon, but we do it on a whole nother level because Christ the King is within us.
Yes,
amen. Amen?
Yes, yes.
And so I wanted to talk about someone who is a daughter of the King very much. And her name is Julia Greeley. Julia Greeley is a servant of God, and we have her picture right there in the back. And she was a slave to a free person. When she became baptized, she became Catholic, she put on Christ. She went from being a slave to the daughter of the King. And she understood her worth, her value, as the beloved daughter of God. And so by being empowered with the Spirit of God, she was filled with so much wisdom that she wanted to promote the gospel. This woman was on fire with the Holy Spirit.
Yes, amen.
Amen?
Amen?
And guess what? She had a strong devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So much so that there's an organization called the Sacred Heart, and her parish was called the Sacred Heart. And they had pamphlets. She gave out thousands of pamphlets to be a part of the Sacred Heart organization. She did not read. She was not able to even count. And yet she was filled with wisdom, and she gave out those pamphlets to everyone. She wanted everyone to have devotion to her King, our King, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So she was familiar with the devotion. And her devotion, when I read in the book, which the book club is promoting, and after Mass, if you want to grab a copy to borrow, at the Congress, they were giving these books out for free to everyone. Everyone got a free copy of this book. So it's divine providence. The book club already was inspired by God to pick this book, and then I saw it at the Congress. And it's basically reflections of each of the six that are up for beatification to become saints. So you can pick up a copy. There might be some copies left over after Mass to sign up. And we have a deacon who's going to be leading the book discussion on this book on August the 27th. So Julia is a servant of God now. And the priest who was her pastor, he said that she didn't have a sentimental devotion to Jesus. It was really a strong, mature devotion to Jesus. So she promoted the Sacred Heart all the time. The other thing she did was she went to Mass every single day. Every day she went to Mass because she believed that Jesus is present in the Holy Eucharist, body, blood, soul, divinity. So she, no one was going to hold her back from receiving her Lord, our Lord. So every day she went to Mass to receive the body of Christ. And what else would the Spirit of God inspired her? She wanted to do charity. She herself was poor, and she received, you know, charity from others for food and the things that she needed in her household. But she gave to the poor. She would give to the poor what she received. She would go out and beg for food, and then she would give that food to those who are in need. And she didn't care about their race. So when anyone who was white and they were poor, because she knew that they wouldn't receive her charity for her because she's black, she would leave the food at night, and she would carry her wagon to deliver the food. She knew that the kingdom of heaven is within. And Jesus is the kingdom of heaven. And she wanted to live her life as if the kingdom is already here, not as if she's going to die and then enter, but that the kingdom of heaven was already here. And so she wanted to live her life as if it already existed. So she would give to the poor. And she would also babysit children in the neighborhood. She would volunteer to babysit all these kids. She loved children. And she would donate her time to be with children. And she didn't care about the race. White, black, it didn't matter. She had eyes of faith to see the kingdom of heaven belongs to all of us.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
No matter what our race, our gender, whatever level of our economic situation, it doesn't matter, poor, rich, whatever nationality you are, she was filled with the Spirit of God. And she couldn't help but want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so she's a servant of God at this point, and God willing, she'll be venerable and canonized eventually. But one of the ways that the Sikhs become canonized is we have to know their story. So you can't really help them, right, to be recognized by the church if you don't know who they are. So we have to know their names, and we have to know their story. After you know their story, then you have to ask for their intercession. When you ask for their intercession, you want to write that down. You talk about writing down a vision. You write it down, and that has to be recorded. If it's a miracle, it has to be sent to the Vatican. Because what are they looking for is for miracles to happen through their intercession. So if you pray and ask for their intercession, and a miracle happens, you'll be able to be a witness. We talk about being a witness. You're witnessing that Jesus, who is King of heaven and earth, reigned in their soul and their body, that the kingdom of heaven reigned in them, to the point that they're saints. They should be canonized saints. So that's the way the church works. The way the church works is not just priests and bishops are going to help them to become canonized. It doesn't work that way. It's a family affair. Right? It takes all of us. Every one of us is part of the process. So when you ask for intercessions from them and the miracle happens, then you write it down. And when you write it down, then you send it to the diocese that's promoting their cause. I know for Father Tolton is Chicago. So Bishop Perry, he's in charge. So I know, I'm not sure for the others, but basically I know in Chicago, Father Tolton, when you ask for his intercession, if a miracle happens, you send it to Bishop Perry in Chicago. But that's the step, you know, to know their story, to ask for an intercession, and then to write down the miracle that happened. And then you become a witness to that miracle because they're going to want to interview you and, you know, to verify that it's a real miracle. They'll interview you, doctors, everyone else who's involved of that miracle to verify that it's a miracle and it wasn't a natural cause of that miracle. So it's a whole process. Every one of us has a very important role to play. And so this is what our Lord calls us to do, right? The people of God, we as the people of God, we gather together to write down the vision, which is the gospel, which is the kingdom of heaven. And he calls us to be a part of making that vision become reality, making that vision become part of changing our life and the life of each other. Yeah. So we have to follow in their example. Like Julia, we have to be huge love for the whole Eucharist. We have to have a huge love for the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Julia played the rosary. You know, this is a woman who knew the rosary. She prayed the rosary, and she had a strong devotion to Our Lady. And so in the Congress, they got that idea. The theme is from Habakkuk. And it says in chapter 2, verse 2 to 4, "Then the Lord answered me and said, write down the vision, make it plain upon tablets, so that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is a witness for the appointed time, a testimony to the end. It will not disappoint. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be late. See, the rash have no integrity, but the just one who is righteous because of faith shall live." So I read this to say that we came together as, you know, Black Catholics from all around the country to allow the Lord to write His vision in our hearts. And we pray together. We listen to the talks from the different sessions that they had. And they had laity, they had clergy. It was, everyone was represented. Everyone's well represented. And so God calls us as a church family to take on this vision and become a reality. And it brings me to the point of, how do we do that in a practical way in our church family? Well, the way we do that is be involved in our church ministries. So after Mass, you know, we will have, we have Norm Spencer and Rick in the communication ministry. They'll be down there in the church hall. We have a TV down there, and we're going to have people coming down to meet, to learn about the different church ministries and to take advantage of being part of the church ministries in our church. And anyone who wants to join the choir with Tanya, you're going to be meeting with Tanya here right after Mass. So, you know, being part of our choir, being part of communication ministry, all these different organizations that we have, you know, the Knights of Peter Claver, Our Lady Auxiliary, the Legion of Mary, there's so many organizations that we have that is a part of making the vision a reality.
Amen.
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 So let us walk by faith, that the vision of the kingdom of heaven may not only live within us, be expressed through us. Just like the six who already have put that to heart and put it into practice. So we look to, for their intercession to help us to also follow Christ, to also allow Our Lady to be a help of us through the rosary, the Eucharist, and to work together as a church family. Because each and every one of us can do what they did. Because every one of us is called. Every one of us is commissioned by Christ Himself. Amen. And we all have the same graces that they receive, we receive through the sacraments. The power of the sacraments are the same in every generation, because it's Christ who guarantees the sacraments to bear fruit. And so we are selling ourselves. You know, you heard in the gospel, we sell everything that you have. You found the treasure, which is the gospel,
right?
Our eyes of faith, we found the treasure. We sell everything we have. We buy the field. We buy into the idea that we want to give of ourselves, right? To not waste time. Time is currency. Time is real money. To spend time in service of the Lord is to sell. We sell ourselves by giving up our time to serve the Lord. And when we do this, we find the kingdom of heaven within ourselves and each other. Amen?
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.